a fall day for a change, a little bit. Not quite serious, but kind of halfway there, and we'll see what happens with the rest of the week. We're going back into late summer again, I guess. So it's good to be here to honor the Lord. We have a few elements of competition this morning, some that you may be aware of. The Vikings are playing in London, and so they're a morning game, something like 8:30. Okay, so we've got an ongoing commentator here to keep us up to date with the game. So we have a few folks. Jeff told me he wouldn't be here. He would be watching the game. He's a Vikings fan. So we've got that little competition out there. But we're here, we're here to worship and praise the Lord and learn from His Word. And then, sort of on another semi-humorous note, the baseball season is coming to a close, and we're moving into playoffs and stuff like that. And if you're a baseball fan, you know what a DH is, a designated hitter, right? Someone that you bring in when you just need that hit so you can get some runs. Well, I'm designating Jeffrey as our DH. That little machine back there is called a DH, digital hymnal. And he fights with this thing every week that we need to use it to try to get it programmed and do what it's supposed to do. And I don't ever fight with it. When I'm setting it up, I just don't fight with it because it's beyond me. But He spends hours every week fighting with that little monster, and we benefit from his work. This week, there's a change under coming events. The project day is going to be this week, from 9 to noon in that neighborhood. I know some of you get here a little bit sooner than that. I'll be gone on Tuesday to the Lake Superior District Ministerial Meeting in Superior, Wisconsin. And then on Wednesday evening is the Church Council meeting. And I think that probably is the announcements. You can look at some of the rest of that are coming up later in the month. And I can highlight them at that time. I'd like to begin a little bit unusual today. I'd like to read a couple of scripture passages from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all his holy people throughout Achaia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the same comfort we ourselves receive from God. And then from Isaiah chapter 40, in the same vein, in the same theme, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed and that her sin has been paid for. So if you'd stand with me and share the call to worship. From Psalm 119, Your hands made me and formed me.
Give me understanding to learn your ways.
May those who fear you rejoice when they see me.
For I have put my trust in your word.
May your unfailing love be my comfort.
According to your promise to your servant.
Shout for joy, you heavens, rejoice, you earth.
Holy, holy, holy.
Holy, holy, holy God, separate, unique, one of a kind, eternal, you who have life in yourself and choose to give life to those who come to you. We thank you for that incredible gift. But this morning we start by honoring you. In our hearts, we bow before you and worship you and join all of heaven and all believers all throughout the earth to honor the God of glory, our Father, the God of glory, the Son of God, Jesus, and the God of glory, the Spirit of God, who lives within us. All through the one who has made this possible. That is the Son of God, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. Our first scripture reading this morning, our first lesson is from Psalm 22, verses 1 through 15. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and am not silent. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted, and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord, let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth, from my mother's womb, and you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging, roaring lion. And I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart melts like wax. It has melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. And you have brought me to the dust of death. And our second lesson is from Mark 10, verses 17 through 31. Jesus counseling the young ruler, the rich young ruler. Now as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him and asked, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. And honor your father and mother." And he answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." And then Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, "Children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible." Then Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left all and followed you." So Jesus answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first."
Thank you, Julie. It's time for us to celebrate and with joy give our financial gifts to God. All week long, we've been giving ourselves to the Lord in other ways, and so we have that opportunity today. And so I'd ask Bob and Mary to come forward. We'll have a word of prayer. We are just so grateful for all that you give to us, our gracious and loving Heavenly Father. Each day, each week, as we meditate on you, we are reminded of how good you are to us in every circumstance. And so we give you thanks and honor and glory. This is just a token of our appreciation. You know our hearts. You know how deeply we love you and appreciate you. So what we give to you financially is just a sample. And so we give it to you with great joy and to honor your holy name through your Son Jesus. Amen.
Jesus, just as on the day you met on the way two friends who received you in. Our sins we confess with these gifts that you bless, for we know, Lord, that you are here. In the breaking of bread and the passing of wine, we know you are here, Lord Jesus. Your words pierce our grief with hope and relief from anguish of darker hours. Our hearts burn inside and our eyes open wide, for we know, Lord, that you are here.
Thank you. You may be seated. Would you pray with me? Our gracious and great Heavenly Father, the Father, you who have cast the heavens into existence, what we call the universe, all the stars and galaxies, all the power that is contained in all of that creation, all of the beauty, the light, the glory, And in your creation, you have created this earth and all that is in it, and then you chose to create a being like you. And so we come to you this morning, like David did, to admit and agree with you that you have created us in your image, but we are but dust in comparison to you, which means that we admit, our Father, that we need you desperately, daily, in everything we do. And we acknowledge, Lord Jesus, your words that without you, we can do nothing. We need you, and in our hearts we honor you, and we love you. And so this morning we give you praise and honor and glory. Once again, we're reminded, Father, for all of our brothers and sisters throughout the entire world, we thank you for them because their testimony and our testimony continues to go out in ways that we don't even recognize or know about, because you're building your kingdom and you use the witness of your people to do that. We'll only know the effects of it after we are with you and see through your eyes of what you have accomplished. So we thank you for our brothers and sisters throughout the world and pray for them as we pray for ourselves. Be with us because we need you. Guide us because we need your wisdom and knowledge. Make our testimony effective because you need your glory. And it is your kingdom that matters. We would also pray for all brothers and sisters who are undergoing times of need for comfort or have been enduring recovery from those times, as that has touched many of us. You are our comfort. We acknowledge that and ask your forgiveness for the times that we look to our finances or our conditions or our home life or whatever situation we're in to try to find comfort there. We acknowledge this morning, our God, you are our comfort and stay. Continue to guide your people throughout the earth so that your name is glorified and honored in every way possible. And for that, we will join with your will to give you the glory and honor because you're worth it. And again, through the name of your Son, who makes even our conversation with you possible, the blessed name of Jesus. Amen.
Another communion song, turn to 572. One right after the one we sang. Let us break bread together.
Break bread together, our knees. Let us break bread.
Just a little extra reminder what we're going to celebrate in a few minutes. Doesn't hurt. Well, I'm going to start off by challenging myself. What we're going to talk about this morning, as it says in your bulletin, seeking comfort, not complicated at all. So, you can grade me of how much I complicate it, which I tend to do, as you know by now. So I'm going to try diligently not to complicate something that is very uncomplicated. Most of us aren't aware of stress when we're going through stress. We just sort of, we're kind of troopers, you know. We just kind of endure it. We just have learned, put our nose to the grindstone and attack the project and get through it. We have been called the stress nation. And part of that is because we keep ourselves so busy. And just for perspective, I'm a recovering workaholic. I work too much, have always worked too much all my life, been trying to bring that into moderation, working 32 hours a week for the church. I'm trying to keep it to 32 hours or as close as I can get. The first church I pastored in Cook, I did a time study and I was working 80 hours a week. And I'm hoping that 50 years later I've learned better than that. But we as people, and especially I think as Christians, we strongly believe in the work ethic, to keep busy. So we have to kind of manage that. But if you haven't noticed, our nation is like berserk right now under stress. This is a lousy time of the year for me, because as we head into November and December, one of the things that bothers me to no end is the amount of ads on television about health care for seniors. I mean, it's just like one after the other, and they're in swimming pools, and they're playing racquetball or whatever those things are. They got a new thing now that they're playing, which I can't remember the name of, and doing all this stuff, and then they tell you, you got to check out this policy, and another ad comes on right after it for a different company. And I use a hearing device when I'm watching television, so I just reach up and turn it off and then wait till the commercials are over. But something else is happening this year, if you haven't figured it out, that is driving the United States berserk, and that's the election. So I want to talk about the election over the next few weeks, or politics, or in general, and what this book, the Word of God, has to say. No, the Word of God doesn't talk about Democrats and Republicans. Okay? But it does have some good advice for believers, both the Hebrew believers in the Old Testament and believers in the New Testament, when it comes to who is running the government. And so what I want to start with is comfort. We don't have to get whacked out about what's going on, because our kingdom and our king is perfectly comfortable. He's got this thing under control. And so we can trust him. So to start in the Old Testament, the word for comfort in the Old Testament is very interesting, because it's translated comfort, because that's what we understand. But the Hebrew word in the Old Testament itself is breathe. Now, those of you who have been in the medical professions can connect with that, because you've met with people who are under stress, and what do you tell them? Take a deep breath. And it works. Take a deep breath, and some of that stress is relieved. In counseling, several times I've told people who just, they walk in and you can just see they're just tight. And I say, just breathe. Just take a deep breath. That's the Old Testament advice, and I want to pass that advice on to you today as we move through this period of time. Feel like you're getting stressed? Take a deep breath. So this week, when I went to the pastor's retreat, and yes, I worked through the whole pastor's retreat. They have these times where you take time off. Mike doesn't do that. Mike doesn't do it very well at all. So at one point, in fact, it was the last gathering, the speaker said, I want you to just stop, and I want you to take a deep breath. And so I did. And what I found out, it was hard. I was so tight that it was hard to even breathe. And so I've been practicing that ever since. So, taking the Old Testament advice, as you get into situations where you recognize you are under stress, stop and take the Old Testament advice and breathe. Try it. And I think you'll be surprised at how effective it is. Then we get to the New Testament, and the word translated comfort in the New Testament is not breathe. And I think you're going to find that this very helpful. The New Testament word that is translated into the English word comfort is parakaleo. Parakaleo, two words. What does that remind you of? Paraclete, right? The Holy Spirit. The Comforter. The word, the Greek word, is made up of two parts, para and kaleo. Para, alongside, like para in the medical profession, right? We have paras. In the school system, we have paras. They come alongside people to help them. Kaleo, to call alongside. And that's what the New Testament talks about, comfort, so we can breathe and we can call alongside the Holy Spirit to comfort us. But it takes a few steps to do that. Step number one, recognize you need comfort. And I'm the kind of person, when I have a task to do, I dive in headlong. What do they call those things they put on horses? I get tunnel vision, just ask Kathy. I get tunnel vision. Or just ask my son, Don. He knows the same thing. I just focus because I am going to complete this task. And so I don't see what's happening around me, including in myself. And so afterwards, I find myself affected by what I just did to myself. So step one is recognizing the need for comfort. Number two is, again, simple. Asking for help. And so Mike asks for help afterwards. Because I get so focused I don't think about asking for help in the middle of it. And so I just work myself through it and then realize afterwards I need help, I need recovery. My advice, and I know some of you are already there ahead of me, you're asking for help in the middle of it. That's a good idea. I'm trying to learn that. The third step is after you ask for help, God responds, right? You believe that? 100% of the time, God responds. So the third step is recognizing and receiving His gift. Accepting it in any circumstance, and letting it change me. If I'm not changed, if I continue in stress, I know God has sent it. So then Mike has to work at accepting it. And people who are independent, and a lot of us are independent, self, we take care of ourselves, right? Have a little bit of trouble with that step as well, accepting it. So how do we measure it? It's pretty easy. Is the comfort effective? And so Mike measures how he's doing with the comfort by the effectiveness of it. So if I'm not getting comfort, where's the problem? It's not with God. Either I haven't recognized I need comfort or won't admit it, be one thing. Number two, I haven't asked for it. Or number three, when that comfort comes, I don't receive it. I don't accept it. So I'd like to just remind us of a few passages. The first one is Psalm 23. We all know Psalm 23. It's a psalm of comfort. And one passage in Psalm 23 really delights me. It annoys some people, but it delights me. And it says this, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Now I know, I've heard sermons on Psalm 23. When it comes to disciplining children, thy rod and thy staff. And you've heard the, I think it's in Proverbs, spare the rod and spoil the child. You can use the rod and it won't kill them. How do I know those verses so well? My dad used them very effectively, by the way. That's not what it's talking about in Psalm 23. A shepherd didn't beat his sheep. A shepherd didn't bruise his sheep. His sheep were valuable to him. He wanted to keep them together, safe and unharmed. So the rod and the staff that the shepherd used was to guide them or save them from falling into the lake or the river or something like that, and to keep them together safe within a flock. Over the last couple of years, this verse has meant a lot to me after understanding that. And I just go to the Lord and say, thank you that you're in the business of just taking good care of me and I can trust you. That gives me great comfort. Your rod and your staff, knowing that you have these devices to keep me on the road, to keep me from danger, and to guide and direct my ways, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In Psalm 119, verse 76, it says, may your unfailing love be my comfort according to your promise to me. Again, the English kind of fails me because the Hebrew word used here is so much richer and deeper than the English that we put to it. The English is unfailing love. And that gives a certain picture, doesn't it? The Hebrew word is a word that is used all the way through the Old Testament. It is the word hesed. And that word gets translated many different ways in the Old Testament. And that word means steadfast, unfailing love and kindness. The full, complete, immovable, changeless kindness, goodness, and love of God. The whole thing. All that God is in kindness, goodness, and love. And I've talked a little bit about my recovery from my growing up years, how I have struggled to find this God who has this hesed love that is way beyond my ability to fully comprehend and, frankly, accept. Growing up under the law, Old Testament law, it has been a real journey for me to find and live in that incredible, immeasurable, how deep, how wide, how high, how long is this love of God, as Paul would have said. And so I come to Isaiah 40, which I read at the beginning. And in the King James Version, the way I learned it, comfort ye my people. And so I've always taken that because I grew up in my ministerial training using the King James Version. And I always took that to be a command. Mike, what I want you to do is to comfort the people. And then as I studied it, and you've got the New International Version, and it doesn't say that. It says, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Not a command, but a gift. God is giving this gift of comfort. Comfort, please, comfort my people. Take it easy. Trust me. Jesus' mission, finally, in Isaiah chapter 61, which he quoted in Nazareth when he opened the scroll, if you remember. Whoops, he opened the scroll this way. His first sermon was in his hometown of Nazareth, and the scroll of Isaiah, the prophet, what we would call chapter 61, was given to him. And this is what he read. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, or Mike's translation, put bandages on hurting people, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. Our God is here to comfort us. Now, in your lives, you're probably coordinating that with something that you're going through. We've lost several members to our family over this last year. Some of you have lost friends, lost loved ones over the last couple of years. Okay, we need comfort in those situations. Some of you may be struggling with financial situations, with health, and on and on. And we all need comfort. What Jesus declared in that short sermon that he gave in Nazareth is, "That's what I'm here for. Whatever you need, that's what I'm here for." Comfort. Parakaleo. Call me alongside of you. That's what I'm here for. As we share the Lord's Supper this morning, that's what it is. Parakaleo. Calling Jesus alongside. He said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Remember, that's what I'm here for. Call me alongside. Actually, call me. Ask me to be alongside of you in life's circumstances, in life's situation. Hopefully I didn't complicate comfort too much for you today. As we prepare for sharing together the Lord's Supper, and I put the scriptures in the bulletin for you today, I'd just like to read some scriptures in preparation. And they're a little bit different. Luke chapter 13. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. And we know the story of Peter, so I'd like to skip down a few verses to verse 12. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is who I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's. I've given this to you as an example so that you should do similar to what I have done for you." And then over in Luke chapter 15, verses 12 through 17. "My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." And then in preparation for celebrating the Lord's Supper together from Luke chapter 22, verses 14 through 18. When the hour had come, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Would you pray with me? We celebrate this sacrament, Lord Jesus, in remembrance of you. We celebrate this sacrament in remembrance that we are a part of a kingdom that you are putting together. We don't see it all. We don't understand it all, but we know this. You are winning the battle, and the triumph will be yours. And so as we look out over the world, the United States, the weather, all that, we look to you with great hope because of your comfort available to us that is greater than all our eyes see, all our minds can think. You are the God of victory. We celebrate this in remembrance of you and remembrance of one another in your great kingdom. We come to you humbly, asking your forgiveness, asking you to receive us once again, because you receive all who come to you. Anytime, many times, all the time. Celebrate with us as we celebrate with one another. The bread, your body. The cup, your blood, for us. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Roger, would you come forth, please? Going on in Luke chapter 22, we've already read that Jesus passed the cup around, and I've mentioned this before, there are four times in the Passover where they shared a meal. So this is at the last time in verse 19, and he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them saying, This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.
If you want to sing along or just listen, 568.
Jesus.
verse 20. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Blood that sets us free and guarantees for us the eternal kingdom. Take and drink. Thank you.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Let us sing 577. First messed up with, I didn't check first, but now we're